You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I introduce you to my friend, Michelle Spexarth. She's a mom of five, a homeschooling mom of five. We talk about making the choice to find validation from inside instead of externally. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do it. Michelle Spexarth, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm super excited. Are you ready for a chat?
I am so ready for a chat. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great. It's going to be good. I begin pretty much every interview asking people where they are, what part of the world you're in. So share with us what part of the world you're in.
Okay. So I am in almost the very middle of Kansas, and it is like a frozen tundra right now. It was a negative 9 when I woke up this morning. So yeah,
whoa,
it's cold, and we're going to stay inside as much as we can.
That is very, very cold. All right. So I'd love to learn a little bit about your personal background before we dive in to the main topic. Can you take a second and tell us a little bit about yourself outside of work, some of the important people in your life, what your home life is like, just a list of highlight there to get to know the audience, the audience to get to know you. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So I am a mother of five children. I have homeschooled all of them, and I have three left in school, one that's a senior this year, so she'll be done. We are very active in the sports in our homeschool community, with basketball and track and volleyball and all the things. So we do a lot with that. I have been, I'm like, how far do you want me to go back?
Much or as little as you want to share.
I've been married twice, divorced twice. I am at a phase right now where I'm just like, I'm fine being single just because I've got a lot going on and I really don't feel like I could give the energy towards another relationship at the moment, which is fine.
That's totally fine. Run the ages of the kids as they
okay,
are right now.
So my oldest is 21, then 19, 17, 14, and 12.
Okay, so 12 to 19, 12 to
12
21.
To 21. Yeah.
12 to 21.
Yeah.
So we've got four in my family. The oldest two are in their 30s and the youngest is 18. But yeah, so four and five. Yeah. So when you get to those numbers, four and five, six and up and above, you gotta give the age range because it's important to know whether or not there's a pair in there because twins throw everything off, you know,
yes.
Like it's a totally different dynamic.
Yeah. And it's so funny because as I was having these, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, five kids. How could you do that? And I'm just like, well, I didn't get them all at one time. It was one at a time. I got mine one at a time. And so you can easily just like, well, I say easily, you can transition into the next one, you know, and learn how you need to change and adapt in order to, you know, make things work with one more.
Very good. All right. So it depends on who you talk to, whether four or five is a lot or a little, like, to be honest, like it totally depends on the room you're in. But all right. So now we could talk about that all day, but we won't. Okay. To get to the topic of the day, you proposed the topic of when you had to stop looking outside yourself for validation. Does that sound like something you'd like to talk about today?
Absolutely.
Let's
yeah.
Do
I think
it.
It's super important.
I do too. I do too. I think that, we'll talk about that. Okay, so let's begin by sharing, if you don't mind, a little bit about the time frame. How long ago would you say that you realized that you needed to or wanted to make the change to stop looking outside yourself for validation?
So I didn't even really know it was a thing. I just had lived looking for external validation my whole life. And so it was probably about 3 or 4 years ago that I started realizing that my problem, I mean, not that there aren't others, but my problem was that I needed to be around people all the time. I needed to have them telling me, you know, I'd ask, well, what do you think about this? And I didn't even know what I liked anymore. And I didn't even know what I thought about things. And so when I started, and I gave all my power away to get everybody else's opinions and everything like that. And so when I started, like, I think it had been brought up in some of the classes that I had been taking that I started realizing, oh, that's been my problem, is that I don't even know what I like. I don't even know what I think about stuff. And so I started really delving into an exploration of what do I like? What do I think? How do I feel about things? And that was kind of the start for me, was like I said, about 3 or 4 years ago.
So 3 or 4 years ago is when you began to become aware of this. Share with us a little bit what your life looked like 3 to 4 years ago. What were the things that were going on in your life? What did a day feel like? Stuff like that. You had, so 3 or 4 years ago, you had more kids. I don't know if all five kids still live at home, but you had more kids living at home probably.
Yeah, the two boys are they're not here with me. So, yeah, they're out. So I've got three at home. And I think it was right about that time that that was when they were moving out. And so I'm trying to think about I think I just felt like life was chaos. And that everything around me was not the way I would choose for it to be. And there was so much that was out of my control. And not that I was trying to control the situations, but it was just like everything was not of any decisions that I had made or that I had, it was because everybody else had some opinion about it. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll do that, you know, because you said that that was good. Or, you know, oh, you say you want this. Okay, well, I'll see what I can do to get that for you, you know. And basically, I was overextended. I was exhausted. I was to a place where I was highly emotional and highly volatile. Not in an abusive, horrible way to other people, but just on myself. And I was just like, I can't keep doing this. You know, there was a
So, give me
lot.
some examples if you remember
Okay, so.
of things that you were feeling were being decided or influenced by other people's opinions. Is it like family dinner time or?
So the one this is the thing that comes to my mind. So I'm just going to say it because here we are in the grossness of life. I was my two older boys did not they were not doing school the way they were supposed to, but they wanted to be a part of sports. And so if you're not a part, if you're not doing your school, you shouldn't get to do sports. And in the homeschool policy, that's part of it also, you know, within the sports group. And so I had told the kids that the boys, you need to get caught up on your school. And if you don't, I'm going to go talk to the coach. And so I had also reached out to their dad and had a talk with him. And he said, okay, got your back. And I'm like, okay. So when they didn't finish their school, and I said, I'm going to talk to your dad and I'm also going to talk to the coach. And so when I went and talked to their father, he reneged on everything that he had said. And then the coach did too. They went ahead and let the boys play. They went ahead and just let the boys slide and they didn't finish school. And at that point, it was like and they moved out. And so I felt like I was coming undone. I had just lost my boys because I was trying to stand up for what I felt was important. And I was letting everything outside control how that happened. And I just thought, nope, I have to. And it was like a wake-up call for me because then I realized that people aren't going to do. You can't trust them to always do the right thing. You can't trust them to do the things that are responsible that, you know, and how am I going to recover from this happening? And so at that point, I was just like, I can't just look outside and expect everybody to fall into line in the way that even they say they are.
Okay.
And
So
that,
let's take a brief step to the side, because I think I understand how this works, but I am a person who is not ever wired to do homeschooling. I very much appreciate that there's somebody else who's delivering the curriculum to all of my kids, and that I don't therefore have to. But explain how, so you guys are homeschooling. So let's explain the sport connection, because I kind of think I know how this works because I've known so many people who have homeschooled. But so you're homeschooling, you're delivering the school curriculum at home.
making
How
sure
did
they do
they
their work.
making sure they do their work? And then are you a part of like a homeschool co-op situation, or how do they play
It's kind of
sports?
like
How does it
that.
work
There's
when?
it's a sports organization that is for homeschooled kids.
Okay, so all the people on the teams are part of the
Are
homeschool group.
homeschooled. Yeah.
Okay.
And so within that community, it is the kids, the parents, and the coaches have to sign a code of conduct. And
Right.
in this code of conduct, it states that your children are at least 52% homeschooled in order to be
Okay.
a part of that community. And the kids sign a code of conduct that say, we will do 52% of our school as homeschooling, and that if we don't do that we will not be eligible to be a part of the team, because that is the requirement in order to be a part of the team. And so it
Okay.
is based on, and in the between the parents and the coaches, it says that if there is a problem with the homeschooling, that the parents can get the coaches involved in order to help coax the kids to complete their schoolwork so that they will be eligible to do school. Does that make
And
sense?
then, so there's a homeschool team. Do you play other homeschool teams, or
Yeah,
are you
we do.
playing? Are you also playing parochial schools and public schools, or is it an entire league of homeschool teams?
Mostly it is either private schools or homeschool groups
Okay.
like us. Sometimes we'll play public, but it's not the typical for us.
Okay. All right. I just thought that like not everybody listening will know that, and so
Right. Yeah.
I figured it was good to go through it. So what
Yes.
happens is you guys have an internal family situation where you have a family meeting, couple discussions, you say these are the rules of the sport, you think you've got buy-in from your former spouse and the coach, and then when push comes to shove and you try and influence to enforce it, they back down. And then how do you feel about yourself at that time? Like why was it a problem?
It was a problem because I already was needing external validation of my importance.
Okay.
And when they did not validate that by standing by what they said, and basically, I felt discarded.
Okay.
And in that, it was like, I'm going to have to figure out how to, I don't want to say stop that feeling from happening, but that what I'm doing isn't working. And I
Okay.
need to figure out another way that I don't feel discarded, that I don't feel like I have to get my validation from people that are not going to follow through with their words.
All right. So that when they didn't align with what you wanted them to do and what you thought they had said they would do, you felt invalidated and not part of the team.
Right.
Okay. All right. So you shared with me in the form this little snippet, which is that your path through this, and these are your words, is owning your actions and your life. So this is 3 or 4 years ago. You are coming to the awareness that you feel terrible when people are not validating the choices that you make with you. How did you realize that the path was owning your actions?
Let's see. So I started listening to things from Dr. Dyer and
Oh, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yes, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I started listening to Louise Hay, which, she runs Hay House. Well, did. And just about like tapping into my own self and realizing that, yeah, I can't control anything outside of myself, but I can always control how I decide I want to be, how I decide I want to show up. How I decide that I want to view situations. And so because I was just like, this, I have got to find a place where I am not so vulnerable to others. Also, to where I feel okay within myself, no matter what's going on outside of me. And just to get to know me better.
I mean, it's not an uncommon thing that you talk to, that I talk to women who have been in the thick of life and raising families where they have a perception and a sense of a loss of individual identity. It's a lot of work to raise kids. It's a very busy time of life. You, especially if you were a single parent at seasons of this. One of my oldest friends has a saying about single parenthood. She's like, 90% of the time, it's fine, but that 10% is really a lot.
Yes.
Those are not her exact words. She uses some sentence enhancers in there, but that's, you get the point, I'm sure. And so that part of it is a common experience that a lot of people go through. I'm sure there's I mean, that's a gendered thing, but I'm sure there's a male equivalent of it that people experience.
Probably.
But so that part of it is that, but it's not always something that needs intervention. And then on the other side, self-intervention. And then on the other side, a lot of times it is. I talked to somebody one time who tells a story of it got to the point where somebody asked her what her favorite color was, and she looked to the other person in the room like, what do you think it is? And
Do
that,
tell me, what's my favorite color?
exactly. And so I've heard many, many stories of that. And so the interesting thing about it is that it is a slippery slope. Many of the people who go through this, myself included, you don't realize it's happening as you make the choices. You're making these choices to invest in your family and to invest in their lives and their joy and all of the things. And you don't realize that sometimes it's coming at the expense of burying a little piece of you as you go. And you don't feel it until, in your case, when the coach doesn't back you up, you're just like, what, how come my opinion doesn't matter? Like, why I came to you, I'm following the rules. Where's my vote here? So you start listening to Wayne Dyer. Love him. I think he was a middle school counselor before he went into self-help, if I have
I
the right.
think you're right.
Yeah,
I think
which
that's
it
right.
just actually means he's a saint walking on, or was a saint walking on
He's
earth, because
so
that's a
amazing.
And I listened to something that he recorded a long time ago, and he was telling the story of when he was much older, and he was standing on the beach, and his body was full of aches and pains, and he was talking about, he was self-talking himself out of it. He was like, just being a part of the experience, and, oh, I don't sense feel the pain anymore. And I was like, I don't know if you and I are ever going to be on exactly the same page with that, Dr. Dyer. But it's a wonderful message. So you're listening to these folks who are not people around you in your real life. What support did you have as you were making these discoveries and the coming to the awareness and the clarity of what was going on in your life?
You mean as far as like actual humans that were in my presence and
Anything.
stuff like
Anything.
that?
I mean,
Well,
sometimes support can be books and podcasts and videos and people who we don't do, but so like anything that you did or you did have, yeah. There's a part
Well,
two of this of what did you wish you have? Like, so.
so this was right at the time of COVID happening also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of isolation that was happening with everybody. And, so it did force me into basically my own space because there was nowhere to go. There was, we weren't like really hanging out with people or anything at that moment. So I started listening to a lot of Dr. Ramani
Okay.
and then Dr. Joe Dispenza, which you probably know him too.
I do.
And I started reading a ton of books on just self-help and on knowing yourself. There's one that I read by Debbie Mirza.
I don't know that one.
Okay, so Debbie Mirza is she basically teaches like the depths of narcissistic relationships. And so The Covert Passive Aggressive Narcissist was a big book that it, or an impactful book for me that really started showing me what I had been dealing with. And so in that, she also talks about reconnecting with yourself and about ways to do that and practices that you can do with yourself. And so that was a huge impact for me to be guided into a place where I could reconnect with myself and start learning about myself and start really realizing that, you know, in every situation, I do have a choice, regardless of what, you know, some people will say, well, I didn't have a choice. And that is never, never true.
So the one example I give to people where I give people an out with that is I'm like, listen, you're walking down the street, somebody punches you in the nose unexpectedly. You didn't choose that.
Nope.
You didn't choose that, and you get a pass when your initial reaction is like, blah, blah, blah. But otherwise, in things that we are engaged in intentionally, I think that holds true. I think that it's not always easy to realize. Or to put in effect. So, what were some of the things you were doing to connect with yourself?
So, I want to say something real quick about when you say somebody punched you. No, you didn't get a choice about being punched.
That's right.
However, you get a choice as to how you respond to that.
Yeah, I just give people a short waiver. Like, this is my
Right.
own personal thing. I'm like, I give you a pass for the initial reaction.
Oh, right.
Like, when you're
Yeah.
totally surprised, I completely agree. And
Right.
then
So
it's
you
like, and
can
then
walk
it's
away or you
right.
can punch him back or, you know, but you always get that choice, even though,
Yes.
yeah, something's going to happen to you. So, okay. So things that I did to start reconnecting with myself is one of the things is that I decided I was going to do, if somebody asked me to do something, I was going to say yes. And the reason I was going to say yes is because I wanted to go in to that experience with an exploratory mindset. And what that meant for me is that I was going to go in, I was going to do this thing, whatever it was, full force. I could be highly type A at points. And then after the fact, I was going to sit down and I was going to think about, did I like it? Did I
Okay.
not like it? Were there things I did like about it and some things I didn't? Would I do it again? Would I never do it again? And to really sit down and analyze after I went and did something, you know, I spent a lot of time walking around in on the property that we had at that point. We were on 40 acres of land. So we would go walking. I would go sit in trees or go sit on top of, you know, buildings or whatever, just to like be.
So when you say you were isolated, you were very isolated. 40 acres of land, which is a lot in an urban setting, not as much in central Kansas, but yeah. So you were isolated during the pandemic and you were feeling this, and so you began to say yes to things. You mean like social
Right.
activities? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would also, I spent a ton of time journaling.
Okay.
Just about things that were coming up. And then I would sit and I would read over them and I would like try to think of different ways that I could have thought about it or different ways that I could have dealt with things or, you know, different viewpoints of how possibilities that could have been just from, you know, okay, so this thing happened, but I thought about it this way, but what are some other ways to think about it? And just to try to expand my mind into that realm of realizing that I always have choices and that, you know, different perspectives, help us to feel a lot more grounded, I
Yeah.
think. You know, not that I'm going to be like adopting all of them because I don't, but I want to have a sense of myself. And then an appreciation for all the other options that there are out there, but I chose this one.
Yeah, because the choice, seeing the choice is
Yes.
a really powerful
Big
thing. And then
deal.
feeling in control of the choice is really, really good. All right. So what, so you were aware of doing this work. You were aware of trying to shift your sense of validation and control from external to internal. As you were going through this, do you have a sense of what you hoped would change as a result of making these decisions and taking these actions?
What I hoped would change was a lot of the erratic behaviors that I was having, that I was, externally influenced. And I wanted to have a sense of peace and grounding within myself. And I wanted to, not that I'm not going to be movable, but I wanted to be less movable, you
Tell me what you
know?
mean.
So, like, I know who I am, and if somebody makes a decision that I don't really agree with or like, I can still stay right where I am with the way I feel about the situation and about myself and about the beliefs that I have within me, and they can have whatever they
Yeah.
want. And
Okay.
I don't have to be like, oh my gosh, well, I have to agree with you and I have to do what you want to do. And I have to, all the you, and try to fit into that little spot where they are, that it's okay for me to be here where I am. And it's okay for you to be there where you are. And we're both okay. And we don't
Yes.
have
Okay.
to be all up in each other's business.
Right. Or even if you are, it doesn't have to throw you off
Right.
on your vibe. So going back to the situation that was sort of a catalyst for making you aware that you were not handling things in the way that you hoped. You're teenagers. You have a meeting with them. You express the rules and the consequences if they don't participate in school. They don't follow through. You go to their father and the coach, but now with the benefit of the work you've done on yourself, how would you have experienced it or handled it differently?
So I don't know that I would have dealt with it differently. Because that needed to happen. They needed to do school. And I can't control the people outside of me. And I can't even foresee what they're going to do or trust that their word is going to be true. And so I want to talk about the little trust piece there for a second,
Sure.
because these are two people in my life that have proven untrustworthy before. And I was.
Not the kids, or are
Not the
the time
kids,
of,
no,
okay.
the
Okay.
adults in the situation. They had proven untrustworthy before in several different situations, but I went ahead and trusted anyway. And so that may have been something that I would have done differently, is not trusted that their word is going to be true. So I guess now I'm like, well, maybe I would have changed something. Maybe I
Right,
would
you would have
have,
expected.
yeah, I wouldn't have expected something outside of the situation, like these two other people to do what they said they were going to do, that I would have dealt with it differently internally with my boys and with myself, knowing that they are not trustworthy,
That's one of my favorite bits of parenting teenage advice is they are going to make mistakes. So shift your expectation away from them not making mistakes and instead be ready for the fact that they are going to make mistakes because then you just react differently. Doesn't mean you're not upset. Doesn't mean they're not in trouble. Just means that instead of being on, 25 out of a 10-point scale of annoyance, you're like, here we are, yes, and moving through it. And that is, And I think, and so then hopefully, so when you've done this work, you know your position, it's important to you, and you can allow the kids to mess it up, and you can allow the other people to be who they are, which may not be in alignment with who you are, and hopefully not reflect back on you and make you feel like less than as a person. Yeah, that's the work, right? And that's the reason we do that. And it sounds
That's
like
the work.
when we say it like that, it sounds like such a tiny itty bitty payoff, but it's such a big deal. It's actually such a big deal. Okay, so today, as you and I are talking, you're on the other side of this transition. You've done this work, and you're doing these. And I've got a question, just one more question I hope you'll answer and share with the listeners. Do you think that a much younger version of you, like so 20 years ago, do you think that the younger version of you could have made this shift at that time? Or do you feel like you might have needed to go through some of the experiences you had before you were ready to see it and make the shift?
Interesting question. I always feel like that everything that we've been through has brought us to where we are right now. And that if I were ready for it at that time, that something would have presented itself to have created that situation where I would have dealt with it at that time.
Okay.
And so I don't think that I would have been ready.
Yeah.
And that, I had to do all the things that I did in order to get to this place right now.
Yeah, sometimes that's a painful thing. I mean, I don't think it's always like that. I think we learn things as we go along, but I always wonder because it's I don't know about you, but I can really be a person who turns on myself and say, "Ah, why did I let that happen?
Yeah.
How come I didn't already know?
Yeah. Oh, I should have known better.
I should have known better." Or even worse, when somebody looks at you and you're like, "Well, you should have known." And you're like, "Oh, really? Oh, really? All right." So, in a minute, we're going to do the final rapid fire questions, but I do want to give you a chance to tell the audience what you do and how they can connect with you and find you online and
Right.
everywhere.
So basically I'm a trauma-informed coach, and so I help people that have been through narcissistic abuse or toxic relationships to heal, and we start working on their confidence level about owning themselves, like we talked about today, just about being more aware of ourselves and being able to be in a space where we see that we have choices and see what we can do within ourselves to be our own person and to not look outside for that validation. It's really amazing to watch as people heal and have these self-discoveries because, I don't know. It's just beautiful to watch people just kind of come into their own on that. I have a free Facebook group. It's called Soul Survivors. And I do weekly classes in there so that people can learn just how to heal what they're dealing with or how just to grow forward to become a healthier human.
Beautiful. All right. So, Soul Survivors, as the, and we will put the links for all of this in the show notes. You very
Awesome.
generously made an offer for the audience that I'll share, which is that you have a course called Heal You, Heal Your Kids. And there's a link to get that course for free. That's a really, really
Yes.
generous offer. I want to thank you for sharing that with the audience. People will find the link in the show notes. And also, the easiest way to get these links is always to be subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then it's just in there and you just click on it and it's magic. It's the magic of technology. So we're going to close with three fun rapid fire questions. The idea is you just answer whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
All right. What is the worst haircut or hairstyle that you have ever had, that you have ever had? What's the story?
So I have a picture. I was on a softball team and I had the bangs that were all the same length and just straight across. And I would wear my hair in a ponytail. And so it looks like almost a bowl cut. And
Okay.
it was ridiculous.
How old were you at that
I
point?
think I was probably about 10.
Yeah, no, that is right around the season.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have like the 10 to 14 year old hair story. All right, so when you are invited to a barbecue or a potluck dinner or some sort of collaborative type thing, and you're asked to bring something, what is your go-to item that you bring?
Ooh, I would the first thing that comes to my mind is chips and dip
Okay.
because it's easy.
Yeah. No, that's you. I mean, you got to have a thing ready to go. You got to have an idea and a plan, 100%. All right. So, parents and step parents and all kind of adults, they both receive and give tons of advice. It's a thing that goes with the job, right? As a mom of five, what is one small bit of advice that you got, like so good advice that you got as a new mom?
As a new mom, okay, can I tell a story here?
Sure.
Okay, so this was coming from my 3-year-old oldest child, and I kept asking him to come over here and help me with something. So I'll set the scene. We were outside. We were trying to pull weeds and do some landscaping in the front yard. He's sitting on the step watching something and not doing what I say. And I'm like, "You need to get over here. You need to obey me and get over here right now." And he looks at me and he goes, "But mom, this roly-poly is getting ready to have babies." And I go over there, and sure enough, it's laying on its back, wiggling around, and these little white things are coming out of its stomach and going everywhere. And in that moment, this was my truth moment of, is it really that important for my child to strictly obey me blindly all the time and give up their autonomy? Or is it better for me to give them space to explore and be who they are and me to accept and love that? I mean, not that obedience isn't important, but is it really as important as we think it is?
Right.
And
Yeah.
so that really opened up my heart to allowing my children to be who they are and loving and exploring that with them.
That is a beautiful story. As you were telling it, I was thinking to myself, how in the world would he know that the roly-poly potato
No.
bug was about to have babies? I mean, I have spent a fair amount of time in the dirt with the roly-polies with the kids. And we have a roly-poly story where one of my kids was, adopting and naming these roly-polies. And I came home and I was like, we need some pets. This child needs something to hold and snuggle.
Not a roly poly.
Right, all the love to the roly-polies, but they're hard. Yeah, anyway, they're just roly-polies, right? They're just roly-polies. They're not the same
Right.
as a kitten or a guinea pig or any of those things. All right, that is a wonderful story. I thank you for sharing it. That's it, Michelle Spexar. Thank you
Awesome.
so much.
Thank you so much, Amy. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously. Subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.